I want it recorded because it's being recorded in the annals of history by the recording angels. And I've just asked Mike to take the pulpit and say a few words because he has done what I did many years ago when I was 19, when the Lord called me into the ministry, and he has called Mike into the ministry. And I've invited him to come, if you just to share with us a few minutes of how God has called him so that we all would know where he's coming from. And only God knows where he's going. Okay?
Thanks for putting that together. I'm trying to keep it real short. But I did want to just kind of share a few things about, not about me, because I don't think it's about me. It's kind of about God. It's more, it is about God. And if I stand up here and talk about me, y'all won't be blessed. But if I can talk about the Lord for a minute and speak some of his word, I think that maybe that you will be blessed. And I know that you will. But his word doesn't return void. Neil asked me to kind of just sort of give you a capsule of how I know that the Lord's called me. And it's kind of a long, long story, so I'm going to try to give the Reader's Digest version of it and try to just touch on a couple of little quick things. I really think to begin, though, I believe it, and I know that God's hand has been on my life since I was in my mother's womb. I think that's scriptural, and as I look back on my life, I can see it. I can see his hand. And I think we can all do that, is look back on our life from our earliest childhood memories and look at it from this side of the cross, knowing that we're saved, and seeing all the things that God did to hold us in his hand and keep us there. And there's been times when it's been very, very rich and rewarding and full and exciting. And there's been some times when it was real dry and hopeless and the desert type of experiences. And I know that God's been in each and every one. I think, and I know also, that when we do feel a lack of his presence and a lack of his hand on our life, that those were purposed by him to press us in closer to him, that we would seek him out in the dry spots. And so I know, I just couldn't help but thinking for Gary and his family, it's a real dry place, and it might even seem hopeless, but gosh, he's in it. You know, he wants to press us into him so that we know beyond a shadow of doubt that it's him that provides our needs, and it's him that's calling us and holding us and keeping us in his care. So anyway, I brought something that was kind of, I don't know why, but something I've had ever since I was a probably about 6 or 7 years old, whenever I was raised Catholic. And I know that God is in the Catholic Church, and he blesses the church and his people there, but I know that there's a purpose in it, and we could just pray that the Spirit would be with him. But I have this little medal that was given to me when I was a little boy, and what's on the medal is a symbol, a picture of Michael the angel. He's standing over the dragon, Satan, and he's got his sword pulled out. And there was a time in my Christian life when I almost wanted to throw this thing away because it was, you know, kind of, in some places, I guess it can be sort of like an idol, looking at an object rather than to the Lord. But it's been a picture, I think, of what God is going to do in my life, what I believe and know that he's doing in my life, is just that I will see the enemy defeated, and I will have the sword of the Spirit lifted up and see victory accomplished. So anyway, from a very young age, I just know that God's had his hand on my life. When I was a little boy, I couldn't wait till I was old enough to be an altar boy. I just thought that would be really awesome. And my heroes weren't baseball players so much or that sort of thing, but priests, the men who served God. And I just couldn't imagine a better life when I was a little boy than just your whole life being dedicated to serving God. And so my earliest hero was actually a priest whose name of all things was Michael Kenny, K-E-N-N-Y. A little bit different spelling, but he was just a man who was vibrant and just radiated God's presence when you saw him. He made you want to serve God too, I guess, is the way to put it. And so that was my earliest hero from a little boy. So over the years, I just feel like God's calling has been on my life. I've just managed to maybe not listen carefully enough to know exactly what he wanted. as I grew up, I kind of drifted away from the church. I questioned things. I questioned God. Didn't feel like I got the answers to the questions I was looking for. Never really gave up on God, but never really served him wholeheartedly. I went into the military when I was, actually joined when I was 17, but didn't actually start till just after my 18th birthday. And shortly after that, it was during boot camp in the Air Force, when I was really, I think I was really touched maybe by the Holy Spirit for the very first time. I went to a church service, and it was really an oasis in a desert. Being in boot camp can be a real desert experience. You're made to feel about a quarter inch tall. There's purpose behind what they do there. But the bottom line is you feel very insignificant and very, insignificant's a good word. Just very insignificant. But when we went to church, there was this tremendous presence of the Lord there. It didn't matter to me whether I was still pretty much Catholic, I guess, at the time. Went to Catholic services, went to Protestant services. It didn't really matter what service it was. I just felt God's presence, and I knew that there was a God. I think that was my biggest cry as a young boy, is, God, if you're out there, let me see you. I want to know you. I want to know that you're real. So I went from that experience to another experience a little bit later on, which I felt led to my salvation, really. Was in a very, very dry and lonely place in the military, in a barracks. I just cried out to God in the best and the only way I knew how, and said, if you're real, God, show yourself to me. And there was a Gideon Bible and in the room, and I went and read through some of it, and the 23rd Psalm stood out really brightly to me. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I kind of prayed the prayer in reverse, and I said, God, I do want. I can't say I don't want, because I do. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And I don't see it, Lord. All I feel is a desert. And I just prayed kind of that psalm in reverse. And very shortly after that, was invited to church, and I got saved. So almost immediately after that, again, I felt this real strong pull towards the Lord. I went to the chaplain in the military and said, I've got to get out of the military. I've got to go to Bible college. I just know that I'm supposed to serve God. And he cautioned, and I know it was wise, just take it slow, be patient. God'll, when you're out, everything that God needs to put in your life will be there when the time is right. And so calm down. And anyway, bottom line is, through all that, I think my eyes kind of got more on the world, and I was still a Christian, but I think had just enough of God to be satisfied, and maybe not quite enough to go any further with what I felt he was doing in my life. He's blessed me with a beautiful family and a wonderful experience in him. I've walked with the Lord since I was about 20 years old or so. So it's been 17 years of knowing God, but maybe not a whole lot of fruit. And the word today was so rich. The Lord has given me that passage in John 15, and I really encourage you to just hold on to that as a model. Even the outline today was just so beautiful and right on that. When we're grafted in, when we're abiding in him, and we're holding on and nurturing that connection with the Lord, then his sap, his Holy Spirit, does flow through us, and we can bear fruit. And I think that's kind of where it's at. And the only thing that I might mention, hopefully I'm not stealing any of Pastor's thunder for a future message, is that if you're not abiding in him, you can't bear fruit. And it's up to you to stay grafted in. That's our work. Our work is to observe that graft, that union in the vine with him, and to hold on to it and nurture it and not to let it go. It's our job. That's our part. God will give us all we need, but we have to choose to stay grafted in. We can choose just as easily to not be grafted in. And so my encouragement will be to stay grafted in. The other little aside to that, too, is that as we're grafted in, as we have that sap flowing through us, as we bear fruit, that fruit is for others' consumption. It isn't for ours. And I think maybe sometimes we kind of look inwardly and we hope that the fruit that we're experiencing in God is for ourselves. But when we're truly grafted in him, that fruit will be blessing other people. And I guess that's why I'm here, is that I'm recognizing that my purpose, that God's purpose for me, I should say, is to bear fruit, and that fruit would bless other people. So that's why I'm here, and that's amongst the things that God's been doing in my life. What happened, I guess, to bring it to this point was about, in September, I was driving to work one day, and just in the Lord, had a worship tape going on, and just the presence of the Lord came on me like, I wouldn't say like I'd never experienced, but like I had experienced, but only on a few occasions when I knew God was up to something big in my life, when I knew that something was happening. Bottom line was that he just called me away to go spend a couple days with him. So I went up, again, to cut the story from all kinds of neat stuff down to a real bottom line, is that I went up to San Antonio. It was back in September. It was really dry and barren. It was really the closest thing that maybe you could come to a desert experience in California, on the central coast area of the California. But anyway, it was very dry and desolate. But I had a good experience with the Lord. He ministered a lot of things to me, spoke a lot of words directly to me, directed me in my worship of Him and in my reading of the Word. And I just know that I know that He told me, it was on actually September 17th of this year, which was Katie's birthday, my daughter Katie's birthday, that He said to be bold and proclaim that you know what you know, and you know that I've called you to pastor, to lead, and to serve. So that's where I'm at, and that's basically all there is. Oh, one, I just want to mention one scripture that He's given me that's been sort of, actually there's many, but the one that I wanted to mention was Colossians 4, verse 17, which says, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And that's just my prayer, that I would take heed to what He's given me to do, and I will fulfill it. Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you still call men and women into ministry. And for leading Mike this far, first of all, for leading him into my life, I thank you. I bless you. And now as he's shifting gears into a new phase of his life with you, I ask
in the name of Jesus that right now, Father God, as I lay hands upon him, that your Holy Spirit would just really infuse him completely, and that you would direct his paths, and that he has gotten into the big circle of your will. Now I pray for leadership into the little circles of what the specific area of ministry is. And I thank you, God, that you're going to lead him so beautifully that way. And God, he just kneels before you right now, and his pastor lays hands upon him. This congregation is in agreement right now. First of all, in thanksgiving. Secondly, for direction. And thirdly, for the protection that he needs, and for the shield that he can lift up to withstand all the fiery darts of the enemy that's going to be assailed against him, especially since he's made this public proclamation at this time. He will lift up his shield, and he will deter all the fiery darts, the lies of the enemy that would come to him. God, I just pray for his strength, for his spirit man to be released, and for the fantastic things that will be accomplished through your Holy Spirit in Mike's ministry in the future. And no matter where it is, I thank you that there'll be people so richly and greatly blessed. Father, we just want to commit him now. We want to commit him now into the gospel ministry in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Mike, God bless you. You've got a rich ministry ahead of you, and would like to present to you this certificate. It's a license that our church is giving Mike to preach the gospel, and it reads like this. This is to certify that Michael Allen Kenny, who has given evidence that God has called him into the gospel ministry, was licensed to preach the gospel as he may have opportunities and to exercise his gifts in the work of the ministry. By the Community Church Fellowship, King City, California, January 22nd, 95, signed by Mrs. Griffith, our church clerk and pastor.
Thank you.
God bless you. And you can supply the pulpit next Sunday. I'm going fishing.
No. I just wanted to say something.
Yes.
I'm always blessed to see God doing what he's doing in each of his children. And I just want to let each one of you know how special, how loved, how God is in your lives. You know, He's equipped each one of you. He's equipping each one of you. He's given each one of you a gift that no one else has.
Right.
And when we allow, you know, I used to always say, you know, where's my place? Where's my place? I mean, in essence, that's what I was doing. And I think we all can say that we do. Now, where am I? You know, with you, God. Where am I with you in the church? You know, where am I? And as the body is joined so uniquely and beautifully to each part of the body, you know, go to the Lord and ask Him. He's going to reveal to you. He's going to reveal to you just where you are in the part of the body where no other one can touch another person. And it may not be where it always shows. You know, like up front that you've seen today, you know, it may not always be that, but it's going to be, you're going to be that one that touches each one so uniquely and so beautifully. You know, don't be afraid to, you know, I'm speaking from experience, so that's why I'm up here, because I'm not just speaking, there's always been so many things within me that I was not always able to say. So, in our uniqueness, in your uniqueness, you know, just reach out. That fruit, you know, because of the abiding in the vine, is going to blossom. And as Mike said, yes, that fruit is given out. Many years ago, when we were still in the building next door, I had a vision. And this vision, I saw Jesus walking. And he went to this tree that had all sorts of fruit. But then probably has had trees that you've seen the different types of fruit. Okay, but there were all kinds of fruit, and these fruits were huge. Now, and I think that really shows the fullness of the fruit. I mean, the maturity of the fruit, other than just the largeness of it. He took a fruit out, you know, and this man had a pear. That's what I saw, this one particular, and he gave it to this man. And what astonished me was that I was sensing in my spirit that it wasn't so much what I saw this gift that this man had that was already in the church there, but we have hidden gifts. It may not be one gift, two gifts, maybe more, you know, but that was the uniqueness of the fruit that was being given. So each of you have fruit.
Right.
Let it grow. Let it mature. Let it come forth. But each of you are loved and gosh, you know, I need each one of you. You need me.
Right. Thank you, Irene. Praise God. This is our benediction thought. God, me, if your fruit fall, He prunes. If you're fruitful, He prunes so that you can bear more fruit. And He has His ways of pruning. And every time He does this, I say, ouch. But big fruit, like you say. Let's stand, may we? And we'll just fellowship together, and we'll stay and eat together if there's no if. Please, let our people greet our guests, and let's go to somebody that we don't know, may we? And greet them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, fine.
Yeah.